What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
And on today's show, we're speaking to the president of the Quarterback Venture Partners LLC. This brother's a venture capitalist. He's also the owner of the Elevation Kitchen and Cocktails in Conyers, Georgia. We're going to find out what all that's about and get some knowledge today. So without further ado, Shane Carruthers, welcome to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate y'all.
Yeah, so definitely, man. I see you have over 2 decades of experience. You out of Kingston, Jamaica. So at what point did you decide to say, I want to be in business, but not just in business? I want to be a leader in business in this country coming from Kingston, Jamaica. And how did you make that possible? Because a lot of people looking at like, whoa, like you doing it big. Let's go.
Well, in Jamaica, grew up, as they would say, on the rough side, but I guess rough is relative, right? For some people, it's rough, other people, it's lightweight. And pretty much I was running from poverty. When you see enough broke people around, you say, yeah, I don't want that for my life. Gotta level up. So from early on, I decided that what I saw, even as a child, I said, no, there gotta be something better. And I didn't know exactly what it was, but I used to run tracks also. And I'll never forget being on a track team. We were invited to one of my track mates' home named Warren. And in Jamaica, over an area called Beverly Hills, like California does, a lot of big houses, the whole nine. So that was my first time ever going to Beverly Hills. And when I went there, man, I didn't know black folks lived like that. Once I saw that, that's all I needed to see. I knew it was possible. And then made up my mind from that time. I was about what, six or seven, young. Once I saw that, I was like, hey, it's game over. And from that time, I decided to go higher and higher and make it do what it do.
Gotcha. When you're saying game over, I mean, let's talk about
Meaning.
venture capitalism for a minute, man. Because a lot of people look at it like, you have to have X amount of dollars to even play in that ball field. So coming from Jamaica with your humble beginnings, how did you even know that you can play with that amount of money coming from a venture capitalist perspective?
Yeah, what in Jamaica, we push education heavily, right? So, you know, did high school and from there did college, bachelor in psychology. From there, did graduate school, MBA management and marketing. Then from there, did well, my doctorate in business. But as of right now, I'm what's called ABD, which is all but dissertation. So basically, I just gotta finish writing that long paper that they want, whatever, and I'll officially be Dr. Carruthers. But I haven't got to that part of it yet, cause you know, busy, busy, busy. You know how that goes. So I did matriculate through the system and to actually learn that, but it wasn't necessarily just about college. It's the people that you meet in college, right? You get to meet a lot of like minds and kind of work together and come to that. So at first, I actually used to start companies from the ground up, realizing, you know, how long you have to wait to really get that rolling. In the VC space, you pretty much buy companies, usually companies that are in trouble or companies that need to scale. And, you know, we took that angle. And I love it. You know, a lot of people talk about real estate. I don't knock real estate. But buying businesses, that's the way to go. And look on the Forbes list, most multi-billionaires you'll recognize, a lot of multi-billionaires is in the VC and private equity space for that reason. So I love that.
You know, this Black Man Sunday, so we talk about generational wealth. A lot of people say the best way to get generational wealth is through home ownership, multiple homes. Then you get a lot of brothers that say the best way to get generational wealth is through life insurance policies. But I hear people saying another way to get generational wealth is through businesses like what you're talking about. So I'm just saying, like when we're talking about owning a business, let's talk about how you were able to be the president of the Quarterback Venture Partners LLC. How did that cultivate? How were you able to build the money to get that going? Like, let's talk about that from an elevation perspective, because a lot of people that listen to the show are, entrepreneurs that are saying, I have money, but what can I do with that? So that's the first question. But the second half,
All right.
if I said I got $200,000, what can you do for me? Let's go.
First question, you look at leveraging each other's talent. For example, let's say there's a group of five of you. I'm going to really break it down so that way everybody can actually do it. You want to do a partnership. Somebody in the group has good credit. Somebody in the group has, like you said, liquid money. Another person in the group may have experience or a network of folks who have experience for that said business. Another person, they may just be the workaholic. That person can depend on, so no matter what it is, they're going to be there. They have the time, what we call sweat equity, to put in it, right? Now, when you have the liquid plus the credit plus leverage of the network in terms of intellectual property, right? Plus you have that person who their sweat equity is whatever needs to be done, they're on it. And let's say one more person, whatever the other person is doing. Then just based on that, you're pretty much build a super team. That's how you really do it, and that's how you leverage it. That's really how you build it. Most folks make the mistake, they want to do it on their own. So that one person who has the 200,000, the problem is that 200,000 could be dead easily. Why? Let's say you're going into a business that require machinery, right? And let's say one machine costs 50,000. They get 50,000 right there, that's gone, right? Then the other person who has the credit would have saved that $50,000. Now the person used their credit in the group who has the credit. So now you're making payments of a real small amount, right? So just like that, you stay liquid and get a number of different things versus just that one person who has the money. They're going to dump that money into the things that they need for the business. What about the marketing? What about the labor? What about the what can go wrong will go wrong, right? And you just kind of leverage it like that. So it's something that everybody can do. Yes, you want to find the right partners and make the partnership work. And you do that by way of really qualifying everybody to really see what the real deal is, what they really bring to the table. And you just form it. As Black folks, we absolutely need to do a better job in don't believe what people keep saying that we can't do it together. We can. The problem that we have is when you know you have the wrong person in your group, you got to get them out. The one who is lying, the one who's stealing, the one who's not doing business the right way. That's who you have to remove and find somebody who's doing it the right way. But we absolutely can do it together. But that's a lie that they try to tell us. We can.
How do you select the correct people to financially be in your team?
Always say start at home, meaning start with the people you know, your friends, that person you went to college with, right? That person who, if you used to have a 9 to 5, who you used to work with, and you like you always knew if I ever had a business, I don't want that person doing it. I want that person because you've already seen based on what they've been doing prior, what kind of time they're on, right? If you try to find somebody new, you're getting to relearn the person. Now, maybe they all learn a person, period. Maybe they have experience in X, Y, or Z areas. You could leverage that. But I generally, me personally, I start with the people who I know, whether it's friends, whether it's associates, whether it's friends of friends, right? Because you'd be amazed just how many people you know who can actually contribute to what you're doing. Just go on your phone and just start going through your phone list, literally. And when you go through it, you're going to remember some folks like, oh, yeah, that person is X, Y, or Z. Oh, yeah, that person's an attorney. We need that. Oh, that's a great accountant. We need that. And you just kind of build your team in that fashion. That's the way I would start. And I recommend that people start.
Yeah, so we're talking about Corkerbeck Venture Partners, man. Let's talk about the establishment of that LLC.
Atlanta is definitely good for Black businesses, period. Because in Atlanta, we're very inclusive, right? So even people who we may just have met, if they're in college, over the case may be, if they're serious about their business, we're going to include them. And not just necessarily on an internship level. So for example, my son, he just started going to Morehouse, right? He is going to follow in my footsteps in the VC and private equity space. Already, he has set up a company where he's going to do drop shipping. Already, he has connected with four friends at Morehouse. Already, just so happened of the four friends, two of the fathers, me being one of them, is in the VC space. The other two, they're in business. No, one is in business, the other one is in tech. And just that quickly, my son, who is just 18, just turned 18 in August, set up a company where it's four Black fathers and four Black sons. And we're now all in business together. And we're going to leverage each other's talents to make it a big situation. Now, it's really just that simple. To answer your first question in terms of what they would do with the money. Listen, you have some folks who are retired. I'm 45. I retired when I was 40. Big thing, flew up to Jamaica. I celebrated my birthday and my retirement at 40. And to me, it was a great accomplishment. 40, you could retire. Look at God, right? Man, please. I said about boy, took me about 2 months. I was bored as hell. How much spending are you gonna do? How much places are you gonna go? How much, you know what I'm saying? And the retirement thing just wasn't for me. So I dragged it out, trying to find different things that, but as I said, I just had more killing in me. I couldn't just give it up like that. So I came back. You're gonna have people like that, right? Even though they're retired from their said 9 to 5s, they still have more to give. In that situation, they may want to not just give money in an investment, they may also want to be active in that investment. And I would say if they're gonna partner in a said company. Other folks, they're tired for real, like they're done. They go to money. What's my return? Right? They're more of a silent partner. You could do it that way also. And then some other person may have a hybrid of both, right? Then what should you do with it? I'm going to always be biased towards put it in a business, put it in one of those business platforms, because it's amazing when you can see the business grow and be a part of that. Remember, I know a lot of people push real estate, and I get it. If I have a house, let's say I bought the home for 250,000. Let's say I flipped it and made half a mil. All right. Whether that took me 2 years, that took me 5 years, that took me however long. Once I sell that home, that's it. If I'm renting to get a little income, I get it. Business, well, I love it. Well, I could have a business and I could sell 2% of the company, 5% of the company for that same half a mil, and I still own 95% of the company. You get me? So to me, there's so much more you can do with a business versus real estate. But again, I'm not going against real estate. That's just my passion. My passion is business.
If I have money to put down, down payment money, the real estate just seems easier to get in from a business point of view. But what tips can you give for brothers that say, you know what? Like I said, I have, for the brothers that are retired, I have this lump sum. I'm not gonna give it all away, but I want to give something to
No way.
it. And then, you got the brothers that work a full-time job to have side hustle money. But they can do some investing. So I'm just saying, like, how do you even get involved? Looking at you, man, I mean, you got this, Elevation Kitchen and Cocktails in Conyers, Georgia.
Yeah,
First
that's
off,
my that.
where is Conyers, Georgia, brother?
Yes. So Connie is right off for the 20 East, going all the way past Lythonia, past Stone Mountain, right before a city called Covington. So
Okay.
that's Connie, Georgia. Matter of fact, there was a young man who just won a Grammy, that real popular song from right here in Conyers. Great little town. It's not like ridiculously busy, but not too slow either. So we decided to bring an elevated experience. So our establishment is similar to something that you would see in, let's say, Buckhead. I'm sure you heard of Buckhead, in Atlanta or downtown. So our restaurants, a restaurant, cigar lounge, and lounge all in one. And if you saw it, I think you came to something in Buckhead, right? And that's what we wanted to do. And that's our blueprint. We bring it to a place where necessarily competing with a lot of people, they're such in awe with not just the establishment, but also the customer service and the food. So a lot of people who would leave from Conyers to go all the way to Buckhead or downtown to have a good time, now we're right in their backyard. So they just absolutely love it, love it, love it. We're brought like Celebrity Mondays here. So now every Monday, we have a celebrity who is here. Taco Tuesdays and the karaoke, they love that. Wine on Wednesday. So every night we have a different theme. So, it's absolutely going great. So thank God for that. Now, as it relates back to the question that you asked, the reason why I recommend they put it in some kind of a portfolio, i.e. business or join some kind of a partnership. Now, I don't want to comment here and promote myself, but I would say find what is a VC or private equity or somebody who is doing business on that level, because we're going to always have recommendations in terms of whether new projects and or existing projects that they can actually benefit from. But also realize too that it is a risk, right? Some may just want to make money on top of their money. Others will want to go in for equity share, right? So that way they're a part owner. So it really depends on their appetite, right? It could be larger companies, it could be mom and pop type companies. It's really just based on what the person feels comfortable doing. And also it could even be something that they already have experience in. So if what you retired, you still have all that knowledge. and you actually be a partner in a said company that does something similar to what you did, then that's going to be great because now you come with a knowledge base too. So it's not just you coming in with money, but you're also coming in with some skills. That would be a recommendation.
How do you keep your price at the price without saying, you know what, we need to go down a little bit? You know, we're not in Atlanta. We in Conyers. We're not quite in Atlanta. Like, how do you hold the ship tight? Because I hear people say, you know, we don't want to burn the bridge, but I'd rather burn the boat. So let's talk, man.
No problem. So I always enjoy as best as possible talking on a very practical level everybody can remember. So fellas, remember when you saw that fine woman? I'm talking about fine. And before you met her, you had planned on, or let's say before you date, you had planned on spending, let's say, $100. You're not going over that period. But then now you meet her, not only is she fine, she's intelligent, she's funny, she's this, she's that. And the experience, because she makes you feel the way she makes you feel. What is it you end up doing more than likely? You're going to spend her more than that 100, guaranteed, right? So same thing. When you offer great customer service and a great product, then you can price accordingly and people will pay for it. Now, people get upset when they're paying high for something that's not reflective of the price. Then you're going to have a problem. But if you actually do it right, and strive for excellence, you'll be amazed that not only are they going to pay what you ask, they want to give you some more. So we should just always strive for excellence, and that's the secret code. The other question is, in coming in this industry, I decided to flip it upside down. Now, I always said I'd never own a restaurant. I was never interested. I'd love to say, oh, I'm always passionate, it was always my dream. It was never my dream because I knew the restaurant business is a very hard business. 90% fail. And I know exactly why, because I've seen it. So you may say, well, how did you get it? Any company that I buy, I typically bring in a business partner who has expertise in that said industry. It just so happened that the business partner who I had may have had some expertise, but integrity-wise, wasn't good. So we had to separate, right? So I had to pretty much learn the business. Now, I am uniquely a good fit, and that's a blessing to deal with a business that gives so much trouble, the restaurant business, because as a venture capitalist, that's what we do. We buy companies that are in trouble. And I'd always tell folks, when I'm coming to buy your company, I don't want you to put in a beautiful bow tie and tell me how great it is and tell me the problems. I'm going to buy it. But the more I know what the real problems are, the quicker I can find solutions for the problems. And I pride myself in being very good at finding solutions for problems. So wherever there's a problem, the money is in the solution. So most people run away from problems, not realizing that's where the money is. You solve that problem, you're going to make some money. So what problem did we solve here? We solved a contract. Customers say it's the best thing, best looking thing inside and out, in a 20, 25-mile radius. We solved the problem of good quality food. We solved the problem of food and entertainment. We solved the problem of you getting to experience that bucket type style setup right here in your backyard, right? We saw the problem of accessibility. We don't ever recommend drinking and driving, obviously not, but we can all agree whatever folks decide to do, if you're driving further versus driving closer, right? Of course, you want to drink responsibly, definitely so. So you just look at pretty much just solving, and use Uber, of course, but just look at solving problems. And that's what we did. We just solved the problems.
How do you confidently invest your money in a system where you might lose more than you're going to win?
For me, any platform I'm on, always let people know, don't get it twisted, I'm a sinner, but I believe in God, and I believe in God's word. And it talks about tithing offerings, pay a tithing offerings that he will pour that blessing you won't have room enough to receive. So therefore, any deal I go into, I expect my blessing, you know? So I know you have this saying that say men lie, women lie, numbers don't. I've one better. Men lie, women lie, God don't. So if he says it, that's what it is. I guess that's what these young folks would say, bars, right? Yeah, I think it's what it is, they're black bars. The young people say. So I just simply take him at his word.
It's
And I
definitely
do my part. And just that simple. So having said that, when I go into any said business meeting or negotiation, I am in there going for the win. And I already know that. I have had situations where, and a VP of finance will tell you, VP of marketing will tell you. So they're selling the company. And let's say they're selling it, I'm assuming a number, 4 million. And they will say, they're telling them, so okay, send it for 1 million. And I would say, yeah, go higher. And they start looking around each other. What does he mean? Did he say go lower? I said, no. I said, go higher. Then they repeat what they said. And they said, no. We want to sell it to you for $1 million. And I say, I heard you. Go higher. And they think it's a trick. And they say, okay, 1.1. No. Go higher. 1.1. I said, listen, tell you what. Keep going up to that later stuff. But no, time. I can't get the time back. And they keep going up until I believe that's where they need to be. Right? No. People have the wrong concept with business. They think good business is the most you can squeeze out of somebody, and that's who wins. And that's not true. You want to do right by the person, even if they don't know that they're too low. So that's where the real blessing come from, right? So when you do that type of business, you don't even have to advertise. People are going to say, yo, one thing about him, he does good business. Because who do you know is going to sell something for cheaper, and you know they're too low, and you're telling them, you're the one person, you're telling them to go higher. That's more money for them, less money out of more money out of your pocket. Most folks can't do that, but for me, because I know God sees and knows all, I operate differently, and that's where the blessings come from. That's why I can walk into any deal. I know what time it is because I've done it the right way. When you do it the right way, come with certain blessings, right? Okay, good. So that's the approach. Then also, all money is not good money. There is some deals it's okay to walk away from it. I've done that many times. And most of them end up coming right back around after. That's how that part of it goes also. So this is a very interesting thing. Most people rush for the destination and they miss the most important parts. And the important part is really the process. If you can just start enjoying the process, yeah, you haven't made the money yet, but find a way to enjoy the process. Because if it's just about how much money, the destination, when you get there, the high you're gonna feel is gonna be very limited, meaning what? You pop some champagne, you celebrate, then you're like, okay, now what? Because you thought the destination was where everything came into play, but no, enjoy the process of it. Enjoy going from 1 to 10 to 100 to 1,000 to thousands to enjoy that process. Because so once you enjoy that process and you learn it, you can redo that same process every single time and you can enjoy the ride. So enjoy the ride.
How strong was faith in your journey to be where you are?
Me personally, that's really where all the blessing come from. I mean, look, I know something sounds cliche, and I try to make it as real and practical as possible because people talk and people always talk about it at the award show. They'll be like, everybody goes up and say, thank God, thank you. It sounds kind of, but legitimately for me, that's what it really is. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. Look here, remember, there's a reason why I keep telling people read books in real life. Just read. If you don't like to read, you have no excuse. Audiobooks. Go to YouTube, look up the book, let it run. Listen to it. So what is faith? Real example. Do you know that the guy who invented phone, umpteen ever long ago, his family committed him to a mental ward. They said he was psycho. Because this guy was talking about he knows how to create where one person can be this distance and the other person's a whole other distance away, and they could actually talk to each other. Now, if you think outside of what we know, because we grew up knowing phones, think of what he was talking about back then, which was impossible. Just like the Wright brothers talking about some type of thing defying gravity and going up in the air, right? All of those things were actually, if you think about it, quote unquote, crazy thoughts, because they've never seen it, right? So what is faith? Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen, right? So anybody who said that they were a Christian and don't have faith, you can't be a Christian and not have faith. What I mean by that, if I don't have faith, listen to this crazy story. So God in heaven impregnates a teenager, because she was a teenager, and a son was born, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to die on the cross so he could die for all our sins. So when he comes back, we can all go to heaven. You see, outside of faith, that sounds crazy. And most people don't want to say that. It sounds crazy. But with faith, you recognize, if you really want to know what's crazy, examine your body one time. Like really just go on YouTube and look up what makes the heart beat, the intestines, your this, your that, like what it does, and you'll be amazed. Like, even childbirth is a miracle. When women have babies, they're supposed to die scientifically. Look it up. It's all miraculous. So once you realize, okay, well, if that's possible, right? Imagine what else is. So with faith, Jesus, all of that, it makes perfect sense. So for me, That's what it is. Now remember that he made us in his own image. So that's why we have to do the works. We have the faith, but we have to do our part, the works. And that's why it says faith without works is dead. So I have the faith, and I also make sure I do the part regarding the works. And that's the formula that works for me.
Let's talk about Corkerback.
So we just buy companies, right? And any company that I typically buy, me and my team, is we make sure that, again, we have a business partner who we bring in who has experience in that said business. So if I'm going to buy, let's say, a retail store, I'd have an experience in retail. So I'm going to get a business partner who has experience in retail and a successful track record. I'm going to bring him or her in as a partner, give them an equity share of the said company so they have a vested interest, right? And for me, on the business side, I know checks and balances. I'm about results, right? So it's just like getting a specialist. We used to have an OBGYN practice in Alabama. I'm not a doctor, right? But of course, the primary owner was a doctor. She was great at what she did, but the business, as most folks who are specialized, sometimes attorneys, sometimes doctors, sometimes they're not that good in business. So when you merge the two, the specialists in that said area with the business person who know how to do checks and balances, get the results, the marketing, to make it operationally sound, to put systems in place, it's a beautiful marriage, right? And that's why it's better to give than to receive. People think that they're losing money by sharing. No, you're making money. The way you make a lot of money is make other people money. That's really how you build wealth. Make other people money. They'll protect you with their life. Anything happen to you, their money messed up. Make other people money. And that's my why. That's my passion. Like, I get off on making other people money. Like, I really, like, that's the dopest thing to me in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like this person started from X or Y. They followed your formula, and now they're making money. I don't know how anybody can hit on that. That's the most amazing thing to me. I love it. That's what I do.
You talked earlier about being Jamaican. Jamaicans push education a lot, and so on this show, Corey talked about it already. I got a master's degree in public policy, so I'm a big, my father was a professor, so I'm a big proponent of education. Could you talk to us a little bit about how your educational experience first, and then now with your son's educational experience really allowed you access to the networks that enabled you to build the teams that you use for business?
So fun fact, so my father is also, well, he retired now, was also a professor, right? So of course, they push education hard. Then he matriculated to become a dean, right? And how they are when they're a professor, like they know and have seen what educating yourself can actually do, right? Now, I think what happens is many times people make the mistake and saying, okay, we're not saying you have to go to college to be successful. What we are saying is that many times college, when done right, at the very least, will teach you how to organize the information and be able to put it in systems and apply it. But you can also learn that in many different ways also. For me, college, what I took from it was you really get to learn people. Think of that professor who was just a, I don't know if I could say that on this, a a-hole. You have them. And you try to withdraw from the class, but you can't. So now you have to learn how to deal with that person, right? And if you learn how to deal with that person early, you're going to see many of that same person, different faces, different places, same type of attitude. You'd have learned how to handle that person. You also learn and get to know friendships, right? I remember some of the folks who were at the front of my class. I'm talking, and you know them too, the ones with the brains, like smart. Like they didn't have to study. All they got was A's. But I also witnessed something very interesting. Also witness when they would get a B, and I've watched some of them drop out of school because of getting a B. So those are the things I learned. I said, hold up now. So they're good until they lose, so they're fragile. For me, I lose every day. Okay, let me master losing and turn it into a win. So things that deter most people, it doesn't deter me. I've been told no pretty much all my life. So what does no mean to me? No just tells me I haven't presented the right way, then present it differently. Right? So you get to learn your strengths and your weaknesses. When I was in college, back to the college thing you mentioned, I was not financially clear for a whole year. As in, I was in school, was doing fairly well. I couldn't get, I think it was a parent plus loan, whatever it was. So for a whole year, I couldn't get any loans, but I still went to class. No, I wasn't supposed to do that. One of the time, professor said to me, "Hey, I don't see your name here." And I told the professor straight up, I said, "Listen, if I don't come to school, even though I know I'm not getting credit for this, I'm going to the streets. I'm trying to go on those streets. So I'm here sitting, going to class, studying for all the exams, even though I know I won't even get a grade for it." I did that, right? Graduated, so forth and so on. So from that time, I learned how to use what you have and run with it. So that's what I love about college experience, not just the learning of the different subjects, which is important. But when you look back to even your education, right, you're going to realize that there were some things that it wasn't on the syllabus, but you definitely learned it.
You tend to run into people that you may not run into just in your daily course of life. Like I said, I really thought it was, and I think it's awesome. I commend you for it. Like that now your son, you pass on certain things to your son, and now your son has learned how to build a team and brought
Absolutely.
y'all as the dads in, right? So
Yep.
did y'all have those kind of discussions as well, where, before he went, you said Morehouse, right?
Yes, Morehouse, yes.
But before he went to Morehouse, did y'all have those discussions as well? Like before he went to Morehouse, because this young generation, they're different in terms of like sometimes they might not want to go to school, or they want to go to school, or whatever it is. Did y'all have those discussions in terms of is school going to be the best fit for you, or what can you get out of school, like
So listen, so
at the college level?
yeah, absolutely. So the answer is yes, we did. From he was young, I would take him into the office, stupid and booted. Everybody was like, "Oh my God, you're so cute," whatever. But and people are like, "You mean two, three?" And by the way, I'm not even saying just they were that young. But I recognized that them just being in the environment, you don't know what that does to their brain. Then he always loved basketball and football. And I would make sure we would sit and watch every time they were bringing in new players. And I'd always teach when I was young. I said, "What do you see? See all these new faces, new people?" And I explained to him, you know whose faces don't change every season? The owners. So when he was a child, I brought him up and my daughter. They could understand the power of ownership, right? So early on, everybody was saying they want to play for a team. He was already saying we're going to own a team. Because once you get an ownership mindset, it's difficult to ever go away from it. So they were both groomed in terms of ownership and knowing the power of that. And they were able to see from how I lived, not just what it provided, but also it's like buying your freedom back, right? I could move and navigate however I wanted to for the most part. So they were able to see that. So yes, those talks didn't just start before college, the points I'm making. That started from before elementary school, all the way up.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great for me, because I got an 8-year-old daughter right now. I got a
Oh,
6-year-old
nice.
son. Yeah,
Congrats. Yeah,
so
it's not too early. Trust me. It's not too early
cool. Yeah,
at all.
that's what I
Yeah.
was getting at, because I mean, we've had like a couple of those little conversations where it's like, they'll say, "Well, I want to do this," and I say, "Well, why don't you think about owning a business where the people, you know what I'm saying?" Instead of, so, but yeah, I'm gonna definitely get into that a lot more.
And a good way, my recommendation, find something that they like. For my kids, it was the first company they started. So my son name is Shane, the second, my daughter's name is Shania. They were about somewhere around there. And the first thing that they really liked a lot was remember when I had that pop, was it pop socket? Some type of something, but it's something that they used all the time. So since I knew that they loved it, I said, "Okay, well, let's start a business and we will sell those." Right? So they got a taste of actually what it feels like to sell something that you actually like yourself. And it made the sale so much easier for them. Recommend the same thing. Find out what your kids like and just buy them 10 of them, whatever it is, and challenge them to sell it. That type of stuff where they get to learn rejection from early, you can't pay for that. When they get that first sale, oh man, you can't tell them nothing after that. Period. Now we may come back to buy, they're gonna be negotiating with you. I'm saying, "Can I sell later?" But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it.
That's awesome, man. I
Yeah.
appreciate it. So what's kind of like your formula for selecting a business?
So the formula is really based on, again, any business I can take on, I look at checks and balances. I want something usually with low overhead, high profitability, right? That we can scale. And not like small scaling. I want something where we can turn 10,000 to a mil type, 10 mil type. So scalability is very, very important. And again, my ability to identify a business partner who has expertise in that industry. So like Chef Walker, who you saw, he has been in the food industry as a chef for 42 years, give and take, right? Then for me, fun fact, this is my first restaurant, first lounge, first cigar lounge. Y'all don't judge me. I have a cigar lounge. I don't even know how to smoke cigars. But my customers are happy. You get me?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't even cook. I don't even boil water, period. I burn water. But I got the chefs, right? But you have to know your strengths and know your weaknesses, right? And some would say, based on, let me say, January to October, and I believe we're right about 2 mil or a little under 2 mil, somewhere around there. Some would say that's amazing, right? For me, we should be at 1 mil a month, and that's where I plan on bringing it, right? But you got to put in the time and put in the work, literally. As in, I just had to get a house in Conyers just recently, so I can be closer. I was in Buckhead and Alpharetta. So that's the dedication that you really have to have.
But what was
Right.
what did you define retirement?
Well, for me, it was, I still own all the companies, but my vice president, my VP to be the one running the companies, right? So I pretty much put them fully in charge and I just sit back and make money, right? And again, for me, I believe it was just me always saying I would do it. And for me, I felt like that was a major accomplishment. But then when I did it, it was very exciting. But I'm telling you, shortly thereafter, it just wasn't, you know, because when you have more to give, I think it's simple for you not to give. Like there's so much still left in the tank. But why would you waste that? And that's just how I felt, you know? So here I am.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. It's, if you got more to give, and you give it, and you've already talked about your faith, definitely God bless you. It's been interesting, like the last few guests that we've had over the past week have really, over the past few weeks have really started talking about their faith. And I think it's interesting that because a lot of successful people are, if they're not like, every Sunday go to church type, highly involved in the church, but they believe in spiritual or they believe in Christian principles, right? But they don't talk about that. So there's no real question there, but it's more of just like an observation
No,
saying, appreciate it. Go ahead.
let me tell you why I think they don't. If they are talking about God and we know they're sinning, right, then they feel like it's hypocrisy. While for me, I feel different about that. I feel like I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not co-signing sin. I'm just saying whether I am a sinner or not, and we all are sinners, God is still a God. So I don't get to not have any interview, go on any platform, give any motivational speech, talk to anybody, and not mention where the true foundation is. That's really what it is. I always love to give the example of this very cell phone I'm on right now. The cell phone, we can what take calls, text messages, go on a bank account. You could do damn near everything with it, right? But notice what happened just a while ago when I had to go inside. But I had to get,
You
I
gotta
was on
get
5%. I had to get a charger. Why do I need a charger? If this phone dies, it can't do anything. So God is the charge. God is the source. You got to plug in. And that's all it is. You know what I'm saying? So how can I talk about the phone and I talk about what made the phone work? The phone can't do all this stuff if it's. So I got to plug into the source. Just like the phone every night or most nights, you got to plug in that. I got to plug into God.
And that's real, really. To me, that's the real gem right there. Talk about bonds, but
There's the
that's
Lord.
the real, that's the real gem right there. I appreciate you. Hey, really appreciate you taking your time with
Yeah,
us, man.
appreciate y'all too, man. Thank you. Thank you. And y'all keep up the great work that y'all doing, man. That's amazing. See, black men making major changes, doing major things. And by the way, don't ever underestimate just how many people your platform will reach. Have reach, it's still reaching. And like anything else, it's just time and place. Just that one thing, and then you go from going to shooting straight up. So faith is start preparing for it from now. Matter of fact, if you haven't already done it, go to the bank. Tomorrow's Monday. Open up a savings account. I always do this. And open the one that they say you have to pay the most fees if you don't have X amount of dollars in there. That's the one you want to open. The one that they said if you don't have 100,000 in there, 200, whatever amount, then we're going to charge you whatever fee every month. That's the one you should open, because that's faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence unseen. So if you're really going to go all the way, then you should have things already in place that is consistent with your belief that you're going to go all the way. One last story I'll tell you. I'm sure y'all heard about the story with the rain and the umbrella. No? I'll tell you. So there's a town. They were praying for rain, praying for rain. They all got together, some big tent, and they said, "We're going to come together and we're going to all pray for rain." The whole town showed up. Everybody was supposedly praying, 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 praying. One problem. Everybody showed up and nobody brought an umbrella. So did you really believe the rain was coming? You see what I'm saying? So sometimes people just kind of go through things not realizing, hold up, am I just saying it because it's the popular thing to say? Or is my actions really consistent with X, Y, or Z, right? Show me a fat girl. He said she wants to lose weight. She needs to be able to show me a dress that she just bought that's like three, four sizes smaller and tell me that's what I'm going to be by X time. I can assure you she's going to lose that weight because she made it tangible for herself. You get what I'm saying? I used to touch the cars and I didn't have any money when I was younger. I used to go to the dealership, touch the cars, tell them, "Hey, I'm going to come back for you." I'll go tour these big mansions. Because once you experience it, it does something to you, builds your faith. And all the stuff I touched and have all of that, been at all that. So God really bless. So this faith thing is real.
You enjoying
Sure.
yourself on Black Men Sundays, brother?
Yes, actually I am. This is like, I like this platform because first time, but we're having more of a conversation than any of it. That's what makes it dope to me. We're talking, we're laughing, you know what I'm saying? So that's pretty good. Love that.
Everyone, I'm not gonna say everyone, but a lot of brothers wanna open up a business or financially, they don't open the business, they wanna financially say, okay, I'm retired, but I can put 200,000 on this business right now in Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia is hot, man. You got all the stars there, you got the musicians there. I think they say Atlanta's like the New York of the South now. People from LA moving to Atlanta now. I can attest to that. So when we're talking about establishing a business in Atlanta, what's the best route to go when you have money lined up, you have some partners, but we're not from Atlanta?
Then you need somebody like myself from Atlanta to actually make it do what it do. And make sure, whether it's me or anybody else, make sure you ask all the questions that you need to ask. There's no wrong question. There's no whack question, right? You want to make sure that you have a comfort level in what you're doing. Make sure whatever you're going to invest in or be a partner in is thoroughly explained to you. When I talk to folks, I like to make it very straightforward, very practical. I like to manage expectations. So I get a very straightforward process. A lot of times it's the anxiety of it that throws people off, and they feel like, well, at least they know their money is safer in the bank. You and I both know that's like driving a car and throwing money through the window because the inflation is crazy, right? So you're actually losing money when it's sitting in the bank. Other stuff that folks don't really want to say, but that's really what it is, right? You said something earlier that's critical. No, don't have 200,000 and invest all 200,000. Don't do that either, right? Think of a comfortable amount, and per the percentage that you get in exchange for that, then you roll with that. Then the contract, you could have something where you invest X amount, let's say from 200,000, you invest 100,000. And then from there, you may say, all right, we would like the opportunity to revisit doing more investments by X time as we see the performance of the said portfolio or the said business. Different ways that you could actually do it and to make it successful. But recognition would be get with somebody who is in that industry and has a track record.
Great information, man, but I'm just saying, if I'm talking to you, Shane, man, we on Black Men Sundays. I'm about to see if we could work a deal out right now. What if I said, Shane, I got like 90,000 cash. I want to invest in some Atlanta properties, some Atlanta business. I got 90,000 cash. I'm not educated on the scene of Atlanta. I'm in Florida, but I got some cash I want to invest. And I want to get busy right now. What can you do for me or brothers listening that says, I got liquid? What can you do for us right now?
Okay, sure. So if it was real estate, I would say I'm not the person for you because I'm not versed enough in real estate. I'd have to recommend somebody else for that, right? If you're talking business, then I would say, okay, I'm your guy. And then from there, I would ask you a few questions. Number one, what are you looking for? Looking for a return on your investment by X time. So you invest 90,000, let's say tomorrow. And then within what, 2, 3 years, you want X percentage return on that? Or are you looking more for equity? You want to be part owner of the said company. So based on the profit that the company make, you get your percentage. And or if and when we decide to sell the company, of course you get that percentage as it goes up tremendously. I'd ask those qualifying questions. I'd also want to know what's your appetite for investing? If you're going to invest and have a whole heart attack every day, sir, that's not worth your health, right? You have to really realize that everything does have a risk. You also don't want to hear words like guarantee run. There's no such thing as guarantee. First of all, that's unethical to even say guarantee. You can say minimal risk. What would I recommend you do with it? Invest it in either new companies that I'm going to be purchasing in the future, and or let's say a part two to this particular company that I'm sitting at right now, which is Elevation Kitchen and Cocktails, because we're going to do this is elevation one, elevation two, three, four, so forth, and so on, right? So that way you already know and there's a track record behind that. But usually, if you have a more of a appetite for risk, then you get a higher percentage with us doing a new company, meaning one that has not been acquired as yet, because naturally that one carries more risk, but also a greater reward, right? So I get just a feel first of what your tolerance level is, and we'll pretty much go from there.
Great information, man. Well, hey, Shane, man, thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays. I appreciate you. I appreciate
I
your
appreciate it,
time.
y'all.
I'm gonna have to hit Elevate, man, see what's going on. I need to come to Atlanta anyway, man. We got
Yeah, man.
so many guests from Atlanta, man, from the brother that got the
Mm-hmm.
tree, the brother with the trees out there, to
Nice,
you, to all these
nice.
restaurants. I'm gonna have to hit
Well,
Elevate, man.
what I'll do for you is this. When you come in, let me know. And I recommend right here at Elevation, you actually do your show.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away.